Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
And we're here.
And we're back.
We're back. We're here. It's another episode.
What's this episode?
This is going to be an interesting one. I'm sure many people are going to connect with this, but when work is killing you.
Oh my gosh, work was so killing me and I didn't even know it.
Which, you know, it's funny. When I was going through treatment, I found work to be like sort of my escape.
Yeah, some people like that. Some people like working through treatment as a way to not think about it and to kind of have some normalcy. Mm-hmm. But for me, my job was just very stressful and not fulfilling. And so for me, taking a break from that during treatment was so restorative.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. But we kind of put it out there to our community, like, did anyone feel like their work stress was a factor in their health? Yeah. And we had a lot of responses. There were two that I thought were really interesting. One is kind of a duh. She got diagnosed in 2019, and then the pandemic obviously happened in 2020, but she's an elementary teacher. Mm-hmm. So she says that the last few years have been exhausting. Dealing with children, experiencing trauma, stress, and emotional issues has increased, and managing her own mental health has become an issue. The interesting part, you and I were talking about this, is the question was, did you feel like work stress was a factor in your diagnosis? That happened, It seems like, right as she got diagnosed. Uh-huh.
But you know that was there leading up to it. Although the pandemic obviously like had
probably fuel in the
added
fire.
Added stress. For
yeah, fuel in the fire. Teachers. I mean, I think teachers have very stressful jobs in terms of
so stressful.
All the things they're dealing with. Yeah. And like I said,
now they're like, do your same job, but over Zoom.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know how they manage that.
No.
And you had somebody that reached out and had a comment. What did she say? She's a thriver. She's living with stage 4 breast cancer.
Yep. So she said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, work stress is how I ended up in a health crisis. I fueled on donuts and black coffee to work 60 plus hour work weeks, plus walked on eggshells constantly.
Well, I think she's saying what I was kind of, the question I had for people is, do you think that your work stress contributed to you getting sick? I think mm-hmm. she feels like, I was living on fumes. I was drinking coffee and donuts and running here and running there. And I think a lot of women do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, men do it too.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are kind of running on fumes, and until they get sick, they're just, you know, it can even be a source of pride.
Yeah, you think like, I'm actually like surviving well because I'm able to get all my things done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really at the expense of you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really understand the role that work stress was having on my health until I got diagnosed and I really reevaluated. And so that's kind of the point of today's series. So we're going to talk about how the nature of work has changed over the years.
Yeah. And the potential stress that comes from trying to do it all.
Yeah. And the trend that we've seen with a lot of our beneficiaries that we work with at Faith Through Fire.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have 3 locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield in Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a 4th location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. All right, and we're back. Can we just talk a minute about how work has changed over the years? Because you and I were kind of part of this evolution.
Yeah.
Do you know how old you were in 2002?
Well, let's see. It was 2 years before I graduated high school. So I was 17.
Okay. Yeah.
16, 17.
I was early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So much older than you. So in 2002, the first smartphone hadn't even been invented yet. So if you were working at that time, you probably had to access email from your desktop computer at an office.
I didn't even have email.
Yeah. And when you went home, you were done. It was like you could only access your work stuff at work.
Yep.
And then when you left, no one knew where you were.
And if you were getting a work call at home, it was like
Emergency.
Yeah.
Emergency.
Yeah.
No one knew where you were. Now I think it's so funny. My husband and I have always had company cars, and clearly not with the nonprofit.
Right. But yeah. Before like that, not you, but yes, he's had company cars.
Well, he's had, and then I did with my sales career before I transitioned into nonprofit work. But it's like now they can track exactly where you are. They can track how fast you're going. They can track when you get from point A to point B. You know, now you've got chatting online. So my husband works from home and he has to be online in green mode like all day long. Like if he steps away, he's always anxious about being away too long because.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. 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 And
it's always a cloud. Yeah. Bear.
And I mean, with cell phones, we are accessible all the time. So, I mean, I don't think it takes a genius to know how this impacts our mental health. And if you're like me, I have a very addictive personality. I know this about myself. It's why I was always super cautious about substances and everything, because I just knew that I came from a long family line of addictive personalities. And I have a tendency to get addicted to my work. Mm-hmm. I obsess over it. I enjoy it, but it takes over and I can get hyper focused on it to the exclusion of all the other things in my life that are important. And that is a huge barrier for me to like leading a meaningful life. And it's something I have to really work at. But, you know, there's some good things with the transition to work today, like remote work. I love remote work.
Same.
I still think it's funny all these companies trying to convince people to come back. I'm like, you done did this. now you gotta deal with it.
I thought that they saw like productivity like go up.
I think they did. They just don't like it because they bought all these expensive buildings and now they don't have anybody to fill them.
Oh, I just read a news story this morning about how a building in St. Louis, like a skyscraper building in downtown St. Louis, sold, I don't know, whenever it was years ago for like $200 million. And this last week it sold for 3.6.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's why they all want you back in the office.
Yeah.
I do love that you can have coworkers across the world. For Faith Through Fire, it's like beneficiaries. Like we can have beneficiaries or members across the country. No filing cabinets for all you environmentalists.
Yes, I love
Remember the filing cabinets? Yes. It's like massive amounts.
Yeah, that was like a whole job. I'm the filer.
Nope, not with the cloud.
Uh-huh.
I think work seems more interesting because everything's so much more digital. I think you get exposed to so many things.
Yeah.
Something you and I love is the casual attire.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Right? I used to wear suits every day at work. Suits.
Full
on, blazer, dress shirt, slacks, high heels, every day.
I bet that industry of clothing has taken a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I I am a part of seeing the boom of that because I worked in athleisure when that was happening.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's another one where you can't
unring. My paycheck definitely benefited from that.
Yeah. That's another one where you can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
Athleisure has changed everything.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, because now there's pants that you can like wear to the office with some cute shoes and then literally go take a yoga class.
Yeah. I mean, there's still these old school people that are just like, that's so unprofessional. You need to like show up in a certain way. And I get that because, I mean, nobody wants to like, you know,
but like to what
you don't want your financial advisor to show up like wearing like joggers.
Well, that's true. But like to what purpose, though? Because like, what is it doing? You want to look nice, but I think you can look just as nice in something that you're not uncomfortable in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people make assumptions based on appearances. And if you look sloppy or you look too comfortable, I think
you're wearing joggers today. You curled your hair and I think you look very lovely.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I mean, I don't think you should go for a job interview, but...
Well, okay, so that's my point. It's like if I were to show up at a job interview, they would question my you know, how interested are you in this job when you show up like you just go do a podcast?
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I digress. I think there's a place for it. But the days of suits are for sure gone. I mean, now if I go to something nice, it's like nice dress slacks, a really nice blouse and some heels, but it's not a suit.
Yeah.
I mean, those days, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we kind of dive in to, well, I do think it's interesting too. Like women really like started flooding the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the,
do you think like, I mean, obviously I think this is a good thing because I think women bring so much opportunity, like perspective wise to, and we, our brains function differently organizationally than men's, which is not like, that's not a bad thing. This is like a great thing. But
so you and I are going to have a fabulous conversation about this because I agree with you. I think women bring such a different perspective and nuance to the workplace. And I think it's a really nice dynamic between men and women. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think that we play well off of each other in the workspace, mm-hmm. just like we do at home. Mm-hmm. And so I'm...
But you and I think differently, though, in some areas when it comes to time management, though, within work.
No. So this is where I was going to go with it. I want to talk about the trade-off of when women are in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Because there is a trade-off. Mm-hmm. And I think it leads a lot of women feeling like they're juggling too many balls.
Yes.
And that leads to stress.
Yes.
And stress leads to illness.
Yes.
So all the feminists out there are going to be like, oh my God, she's not going to go there. I'm going there. I'm going there. Yeah. As much as I love, love, love to work.
Mm-hmm. I love
to work. And we think that our contributions to work are important and really make work better. Mm-hmm. I also think it's been detrimental to women's health, mm-hmm. and to their families.
And I think it's a line you and I still walk today.
100%.
Like, you and I do a really great job of balancing what needs to be done for our families and the things that we bring to our families while also being uber productive with our time. But
not everybody has that flexibility.
That's got pros and cons because I have moments, and maybe we should just pause and go to Boobs in the News right now, but I'm on a tangent. But like,
yeah, do it.
I think that I utilize my time when I'm like, I have 1 hour to get things done. How can I be most efficient with my time and get done the things that I need to get done?
Sure.
When I could probably get done in that 1 hour what somebody might take an entire afternoon to do. And that is not like a, ooh, go me. But it's like your time means something different when you have less of it.
Sure. You're missing the point, though. I think that's a woman's superpower. If there's such a thing.
I'm not missing the point. I'm making the point.
No,
yeah.
No, because you're missing the point of, sure, you can be more productive, but.
Oh, but the expectation is now we're going to pay you the same.
I wasn't even going to go there. I'm just saying that you can't. Yes, like you can be super productive, but it doesn't mean that it's still not like now you're trying to do all things. Let's do Boobs and then we'll
we're gonna unpack this.
We're going to unpack it because I think it's like a big part of women's stress today and it's controversial. But yeah. First, let's do Boobs in the News.
Okay.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Okay. You ready?
Uh-huh. Oh, this is going to be a good one.
These are all stories out of St. Louis, which I really find so entertaining. Okay, so you know the flying saucer Starbucks?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like...
Oh, I don't think it's a Starbucks. It used to be a Del Taco.
Yeah, the one that's down there by...
SLU. Yeah.
Like the SLU, Del Mar area,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so we call it the flying saucer Starbucks. I guess, I don't know if this happened, like the article posted this year in 2024, but I think this might have happened in 2023. It says, two men tried to rob the flying saucer Starbucks, but this is St. Louis, and we don't take that kind of shit here. Especially from a boy from Potosi.
They got
beat up instead, and one was detained by customers and staff until cops arrived.
Hilarious.
Dude, look at this guy's face. He got himself...
Wait, is it those two guys together? Or is the guy on the other side the guy who beat him up?
It might be that the guy on the right beat him up because he didn't have a scratch on him.
The guy on the left is looking rough.
But wow. Usually they only put up mug shots.
Like, paper cut his face all up.
I know. I think these are both the criminals.
Oh, okay.
The one guy just fared much better.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they beat the one guy, like, down. I'm like, can you imagine you go in there, you're all tough guy, you think you're going to rob the Starbucks?
I mean, though, if St. Louis is going to be known for anything, like, you try to pull crime in this town and the people are going to beat you up.
Right. I mean, I just think that's hysterical. And
that
I'm like,
funny.
You...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But
don't
I love
be
it.
Stupid.
I love it that the article is like, you try this shit in St. Louis and you watch out what's going on. So hold on. There's a full story here. Let's see what they say. They said... All right. Police allege Joshua No, a 37-year-old from Potosi, and Marquise Porter Doyle, 35, of South St. Louis, entered the Starbucks. It's off a Grand around 2:54 on December 17th. Armed with what appeared to be handguns, they told the seven employees and one customer inside to get to the ground and give them the valuables. They also instructed employees to open the door to the cash register and safe, but the employees were unable to do so.
You know what surprises me is that people still try to get cash from cash registers. And like people pay with cards so much now that really how much cash are you going to get? You're really going to pull a gun on somebody for a felony for maybe $200.
I know. They're so stupid. So I guess like So when they weren't able to open the register in the safe, one of the guys struck the victim in the head with his handgun, only for it to break upon hitting the victim's head, which I guess isn't funny.
Which means it was probably a water gun.
I don't know. Oh, it says after the fake gun broke, the victims realized that his gun was not real and they began to fight back.
Hilarious.
Don't freaking, what do they call that? Butt, you know, like use the butt of a gun and like try to hurt somebody if it's fake. Oh my gosh. Okay, it says basically the people in the Starbucks were able to subdue and detain them. Oh, the other guy fled. That's why he didn't have any injuries.
Oh, way to go, dude.
Yeah. Anyway, both were held without bond. They face 11, to your point, 11 felony charges in total. 3 for first degree robbery, 6 for attempted robbery, and 1 for second degree assault, and another for third degree assault.
Can you imagine what they're going to, like, somebody's going to be like, what are you in for? And they're going to be like, I robbed a Starbucks
and I'm in
with
for
a
life.
Water gun.
And I'm in
and
for I'm, life.
I'm in for life.
I mean...
They're not gonna do well.
They're not
in
gonna
prison.
Do well. They're not gonna do well. They will not be working the library,
or they will be.
I mean, I don't think they're smart enough.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, there's your bibs.
Yeah,
bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right,
back to work.
Yeah, back to work. Right. So let's talk about women working. Okay, by 2020, the labor force participation rate for women was 77%, and I love to work, but I feel like it comes to a huge cost to my family. Do you agree with that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think it comes at a huge cost to my family. I just think that from what I see, it is helpful when at least one of the people in the marriage, and maybe this is where I'm like, marriage should be about like duty equality or responsibility equality, but I find purpose and fulfillment in my work, and not every woman is like that. My best friend likes to be at home with her kids, but she also likes to work, which means she finds purpose sort of in work, but also with her kids.
That's not the question. The question is, can you have it all and not have it impact? Because here's
I think that you can have a job, but you just have to have a flexibility. I think a flexibility job, or you have to, if you're not the person who like, I'm the doer in our family. Like, I think about getting the laundry done and keeping the house clean.
Okay,
and like,
so here's where I'm going with this.
One of you has to be off or have time to do that.
So the Guardian, there was an article in the Guardian that was written that says, gains in women's rights haven't made women happier. Why is that? Women are increasingly unhappy, suffering more from depression and substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because... like as much
we
as
we feel like we have to work, yes. But yet we also still have to keep the house together.
Well, right. And so the idea is that, you know, before I had kids, it wasn't even a question. I was going to work. I was going to work and I was going to enjoy my work. And that was it.
Yeah.
But when you start having kids, now you've basically said, I'm going to work two jobs.
Yeah.
You're not working one job when you have kids. You're working two jobs. And the idea is that your significant other is contributing equally to the home.
Yeah.
But so, okay, at best case scenario, you're both working two jobs.
But I just think women's brains work better. Like, while I'm potentially planning dinner for the week, I'm also doing laundry. And like, I think...
Yeah, and
men,
doing work for
this
faith
is,
or fire.
This is where, the book, there's like a book called Men's Brains Are Like Waffles and Women's Brains Are Like Spaghetti. And like, women's brain are like, I'm thinking about faith or fire at the same time that I'm like... you know, folding my laundry and you're doing multiple things at the same time. Hold on, don't speak. And then, but men's brain, it's like, I'm doing laundry and then I'm going to do this. And then they're not thinking about the next thing or they're not thinking about something else at the same time, which like sort of speaks back to that efficiency part. But
no,
then
you're
it
making
starts
my
to get
point.
Really
this is
frustrating
we,
for no, the women.
This is why we get sick. We get
right,
sick.
Right, because we're doing
too many things all at once.
Right.
Yes.
But I think that's just how our brains work.
It is. But I'm saying, is it good for us? The answer
I think
no.
You can manage it.
I think we're doing a really poor job of managing it.
Well, yes, I agree.
I think when women work and run home,
mm-hmm.
you're doing two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Your family suffers. I think society suffers. In society, this was so interesting.
While you're finding it, I want to make a point. So what has helped me recently is like even when I left today, I knew that there were a few things like the thing that frustrates me, and I see it frustrate lots of married couples, is that I see things that I'm like, oh, we need to get this done because it's in my brain. And my husband's like, oh, I haven't even thought about that, or I didn't even consider that. And it frustrates me because I'm like, I just want you to see the things that need to get done the way that I see them. But mm-hmm. I can't expect that of him because his brain works differently than mine. So like when I left today, I was like, these are the things I need the girls to get done, or like my kids to get done whenever they get off the bus today. And he's like, great. He's an executor, but he has to have the plan. I can come up with the plan because that's my strength. He can execute because that's his strength. But without having that conversation, I would then just get frustrated that he doesn't see the things that need to get done like I see them that they need to get done.
Is that because your strength is more of in the home versus in the workforce?
No, I think my strength is both. It's just that I need, like, I like to get things done. Like, I like to check things off my list, and I like to see that things get accomplished. That is not his natural tendency. His natural tendency is to be like, he's like, I'll wait till the last minute till the grass needs to be cut. And I'm like, planning, we have a busy weekend. You need to plan to do that on the day that whatever, you know, we're just, you know, you have to know who each other is to know how to best like direct everything. But that same thing can be said about work. If you're, you know, you're the type of person that gets lots of things done, you need to know how your coworkers work so that you can get things done better.
I mean, I think the question is, can you work full time and do home full time and not have it impact your health?
No,
I think you cannot
expect to be like a single person with kids. Like, basically, that's how you're functioning, and it to all go well without something sacrificed.
Right. And that's my point. Is that, so the New York Post has an article that says why 60 years of feminism has not made women any happier. And it basically goes into this whole, you know, the timeline of advocating for the value that we bring to the workforce. Mm-hmm. But it's making us more unhappy. Mm-hmm. And people can ignore that. Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening. The depression rates are going higher. The alcoholism for women is going higher. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're trying to carry on two jobs. And because we want to do them both well, mm-hmm. we're feeling a lot of stress and a mm-hmm. lot of pressure. And it's too much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're getting sick.
So what do you think is the fix?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be so personal to each individual. There's going to be some people that are like, I'm a single mother. There is no fix. I have to do mm-hmm. this. There's going to be people that can make changes, but just don't because they don't want to lose the money. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be people like myself where I'm like, this is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. It took cancer for me to realize it. Mm-hmm. I still work, obviously. Mm-hmm. But to your point, we put in boundaries that feel like they enhance our health and our family and work life. Mm-hmm. But we have the flexibility to do that because we basically built this company from the ground up.
So if somebody doesn't have that, like, what would you suggest? Like, if they're stuck in this place where they're like, I have to work because I have to make this income.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have to work at that job, right?
Yeah.
If you have a very stressful job or you have a toxic boss, or, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, it's all I've ever done. And it's too scary to go somewhere else or mm-hmm. do something else. I mean, that's a choice. That's yeah. a choice. And that's your choice. And nobody's going to tell you what you have to do. This episode is really just intended to get you thinking differently mm-hmm. about, you know, what your options are. We've said this in other episodes. We've had women in our programs who have very accomplished careers, lawyers, doctors, architects, who suspect that their work is killing them, mm-hmm. that the stress that they're feeling, the responsibility that they're feeling to contribute to the income, to mm-hmm. contribute at home, and trying to balance all those balls is now a factor in why they're getting sick. Mm-hmm. I've had so many conversations with them where they realize they want to make a change. They're too scared to make the change. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, I read the other day that the middle class income has only increased 20% since like the 1970s. Mm-hmm. Do you think that our increase in our lifestyle is only 20% since the 70s?
No.
Look at what we do now.
Yeah.
With
and like the expenses.
The expenses. When yeah. my mom and dad were first married, I forget what they made. It was minuscule, but they had one car. Now mm-hmm. it's like you have to not only have a two-car household, mm-hmm. but you got a huge truck that costs $60,000 or $70,000. Yeah. You have an SUV that guzzles yeah. gas, you know?
You've got kids in all the sports and
yep. yeah. You got to pay for all the select sports. You have to mm-hmm. have the latest iPhone. You mm-hmm. have to have the best dress clothes for your job. You mm-hmm. have to take all the good vacations. You can't, our lifestyle is out of control.
Saying you have, it's like in quotations, you
right.
have to. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to. No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't.
I think it's going to be really interesting within the series. We're going to do an episode on like getting uncomfortable, because honestly, pretty much everything that we're going to be talking about in this series is going to sort of get you to think about it. And every even if you're thinking about like your work right now and it sort of like you have that little pit in your stomach feeling, it's because it makes you uncomfortable to think about what you potentially will have to change or give up. It's very rare that I talk to somebody and they've like sort of been in that uncomfortable situation and then they made a decision that like pushed them into the uncomfortable where they didn't go, like they didn't say, I regret what I did. How about you?
You're saying that when they force themselves to be uncomfortable, they don't have regrets.
Right. And no, I'm speaking specifically about job stuff. So like, and we'll get into like people making big changes about their food or big changes about like their toxic environment and things like that. But I think when you really put time and effort into thinking about like what it's costing you to stay in a job you don't like or stay in a job that stresses you out, and then you decide to take that leap of faith into something different, whether it's like changing the job to a different company, taking less money and changing your lifestyle, like very rarely do I speak to somebody where they're like, I really hated that I did that for myself.
Oh, no. My sister just took a demotion at work. Uh-huh. Like she pursued a demotion to have better work-life balance. And she's so happy.
Yeah.
She's like, that was such a smart thing. And I've been encouraging her to do that for years because she has health problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can't do it all. You cannot do this all. You are running yourself into the ground. It's making your health worse. And I've been encouraging her to figure out a different alternative. And she finally was ready. And to your point, you have to be ready.
Yeah.
You have to see the value in it. And she took a demotion and she's like, oh my gosh, it was the best thing ever. And she goes, yes, it sucks because we have less money now. And I do stress about it a little bit, but not compared to the stress I felt when I was overrun.
And for some, it's going to have to be like, you have to swallow the pill of like, maybe you started your own business and you're drowning in owning a business. And you've then got to like make the hard decision of like either selling your business or going to work for somebody else. And like that can be
freedom.
It can be really hard though. Like it takes a lot of bravery to say like, I built this and this is my thing. And now I'm going to have to go tell people that, like, I decided to choose me over, you know, over owning my own business, which is maybe the dream I've always had. And, like, people get pigeonholed into the, I've always only ever wanted to be a doctor. I've always only ever wanted to be this. And you sort of have to come to grips with your identity to change the path of your life. But what you're going to be giving up and what you're going to be gaining will be so much more.
You're not your job either. Like my biggest my biggest fallacy was that my identity was tightly woven into my work. Mm-hmm. And breaking that bondage was huge for me.
Yeah.
Huge for me. That I didn't, my value wasn't tied to my job or my status or how much money I made. You know, the golden handcuffs is a real thing.
Yeah.
But again, you know, like when I went to my husband and I'm like, I don't want to do, you know, sales work anymore. I need a break. I'm mentally not, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he panicked.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? We have kids in private school. We have this, we have that. Like you have to work. You have to. And I'm like, I don't have to. It's just going to, our lives will look very, very different.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no more bathing in gold, honey.
Yeah. And it did. It looked really, really different, but we've never been happier. And as a side note, now that we're only living on one income, which is how we kind of do it now, we live just on his income, which took a lot of sacrifice on our part to get to that point. I mean, it did. It wasn't overnight. We are more financially secure and better with our money now than we ever were when I was contributing so much, because you have to be. So there's all these unintended, you know, little benefits. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to quit their job. Like, don't go at your job and then blame us.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting topic, you know, to contemplate. There's a lot of unintended consequences when we try to do it all is the point.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's not work for you. Maybe that's something else. But I think it's worth thinking about. I don't know if it's a failure or a lack of like feminine empowerment to say, maybe we can't do it all and be happy.
Yeah. Well, that takes vulnerability because it feels like it's something we fought for so long.
Right.
And now that we're here, even though it took us till 2020, apparently, now we sort of have to like backpedal and be like, oh, now that we're here, like now we need this. And, you know, that feels a little bit like stabby, you know, feels hard, vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can live in the world where you're in denial over what you really need.
Denial.
Or you can sit there and acknowledge that, you know, here's something to that point about vulnerability. It's okay to say that you want somebody to take care of you.
Yeah.
I think I hear so many women say, well, I can't take a break from treatment or I can't take a break from work while I'm sick because, you know, my family's depending on this and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I know their circumstances. I know they could take a break. They just feel obligated. They don't want to have to put people out. They don't want to have to change the lifestyle of everybody that's come to depend on them. It's okay if you are sick and you want somebody to take care of you.
Yeah. There's, and think about what got you to where you are, where you're sick.
Right.
Like, are you willing to give yourself up to maintain your sense of dependability?
And it's okay, too, if you can't make the change because you are a single parent or you just you're a sole business owner. That's okay, too. But it's okay to admit that you're sad about it. You're yeah. sad that you have to take this stance.
And there are other ways also that, like, you know, if you are the sole parent, there are other ways that you can sort of take a step back. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, your job. It could be like saying yes to other things that you say yes to. So, yeah, however to lighten your load.
All right, before we close out, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, we are back. So final words. So really just being honest with yourself about what is causing you stress, you know, within your workplace. Like, is it the actual job? Is it in your employer? Is it the people that you work with? Is it the job? Like, is it not even bringing you fulfillment? And then just having that honest conversation with yourself and then addressing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.